still rocking after all these years.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
This is it, the show that started it all. Often imitated, but never equal. From San Francisco, USA. Online since 2004. Right. It's the one and only Rock and Roll Geek Show. With the original Rock and Roll Geek, Michael Butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Thursday, March 19th, 2020, and it is 6:43 p.m. when I'm recording this episode. Pardon me, I need to. You might be thinking to yourself, wait a minute. A show just got posted last night. Why are, and he, this asshole doesn't usually do a show but every couple of weeks. Well, after the mostly negative comments from the show that I posted today or last night, I figured I better just put another one out there pretty quick because feeling pretty bad about myself right now. So I'm going to get back on the horse. Here's some of the, so yesterday I did the interview with Andy Chernoff, and most of the people thought it was horrible because I was defending Handsome Dick Manitoba so much that they just had to, well, here's one. I've been listening to the Rock and Roll Geek Show for many years, and this is the first episode that I've actually disliked. For some reason, and there's a different one. For some reason, and I think I understand, Michael comes across as the custodian of Dick's legacy, and I think it undermined the first part of the interview. Listen to the first 45 minutes on my way to work this morning. Even before it, only listening to the Handsome Dick interview and a couple of podcasts, I thought Handsome Dick came across as pretty lame. Someone who blames everyone for their problems. Wait a minute. Oh, fuck. What did I just... I just lost it here. Hold on. Oh, shit. I think it was pretty embarrassing listening to Michael defend Richard so much. That's just some of them. So I'm getting back on the horse, and we're just going to play some music tonight, and I'm heading to the... I have to work tomorrow, and after I'm bringing all my stuff with me, and when I get off work, I'm heading up to the mountains until at least for a week, and hopefully this shit blows over. I'm going to be bringing the new Rodecaster with me, so I might be doing shows up there. Speaking of Rodecaster, I would like to thank the person, the anonymous donor, who donated the price of this Rodecaster. I got an email from somebody and said, how much did the Rodecaster cost? And I told him, and about 5 minutes later, I got a PayPal donation for the cost of that Rodecaster. And this person asked to be anonymous, but I cannot thank this anonymous person enough. That was a great act of generosity and value for value. So I figure I need to get on the horse because if people didn't find value in yesterday's... Let me talk. Should I talk about yesterday's? Okay. First of all, I posted on the Dictators fan site or fan Facebook page something to the effect of, I wish these guys would get back together, bury the hatchet, and get back together. And then later on that day, or like within an hour of me posting that, this happened last week, I got a message from Andy Chernoff saying, I deserve to have my side of the story told. I demand you let me on to tell my side of the story, or I demand you remove the episode. And I said, well, I would love to have you on to tell your side of the story, but I need to clear this with Richard because I've been helping Richard with his podcast, and I happen to like Richard Manitoba, despite what everybody said on the comments of the episode. So we went back and forth. Richard didn't want me to do it and said, I will do it if I can come on with him at the same time. He wanted maybe this would be like an olive branch and we can make up on the show. Well, Andy said, absolutely not. I will not be on there with him. And if you don't let me on by myself, I demand you remove the episode. So I went back and forth and back and forth. And finally, Richard agreed. And Yes, I defended Handsome Dick Manitoba because I want the band back together. So if you thought it was embarrassing of what I did, that's fine, friends. Hopefully you don't unsubscribe, but if you do, that's fine too. If you, that's your value for value. If you didn't, I think no matter how embarrassed you were that I was defending Manitoba, the fact remains the guy is one of the greatest frontmen of all time, in my opinion. And the other fact is I think it was a compelling conversation. Even if I was overly defending Manitoba, and whether he was right or not, it's still... I'm getting distracted because more comments are coming in. Anyway, I thought it was still an entertaining talk with Andy Shironoff. And so hopefully you like it, but if you didn't, that's okay too. Hopefully you'll stick around. And if you don't stick around, there is a bunch of other music podcasts that you can listen to, and Eddie Trunk is out there too. All right, enough of that. Thank you to the anonymous person who donated to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Also, thank you to Rodney Cross, who just came through today with a $100 donation. I'm not going to list all the donors on this episode because we're going to play some music and see what else comes up. I'm going to do this however long I can do it. I don't know. It may be a short episode, maybe a long episode. It's going to be this is a bonus. I'm not charging the Patreon people. I'm not going to put it on the Patreon. Just going to sit around, play some music, and see where this takes us. Might end it after one song. We'll see. I tell you, man, I'm stressed out about this whole fucking lockdown shit. San Francisco's been in lockdown since Tuesday. Now I'm convinced that I got this stupid thing because I've had a cough. Have no fever or anything, but I've had a cough and sniffles. And every time I hear it on the news, my heart, I just start getting short of breath. I start being not able to breathe. So I'm convincing myself that I got this fucking thing. And I hope I don't, but I'm really, really stressed out about it. So I cannot wait to get up to the mountains tomorrow. So for the person who donated the cost of the Roadcaster, I'm going to play a song for that person. This is Rory Gallagher. Somebody sent me this, a live double album from Rory Gallagher called Check Shirt Wizard. This song is called I Take What I Want, and it's recorded live at Sheffield City Hall, 1977. Here you go. What I want. There you go. Ripping guitar player, almost completely unknown in the United States. But I have on vinyl, I have that Blueprint album from Rory Gallagher, which I have had since I was a little kid. It's the only album I have. But since I talked about that, a lot of people sent me a bunch of Rory Gallagher stuff. So apparently Rory Gallagher's got a lot of fans. Most of the people who sent me the stuff was in, I think, in the UK. But I think most of the stuff I'm going to play tonight, if I continue to do this, we'll see how long it takes us. I'm going to do stuff in keeping with the mood of the things happening right now. I hope you're healthy, friends. If I did come down with this thing, and speaking of that, I play in a band with Zetro from Exodus, that AC/DC cover band, and Exodus, Testament, and Death Angel were on tour of Europe together, and some of the shows got canceled due to this shit going on, and they came back. Gary Holt says he's got all the symptoms of this thing, and he's laid up in bed. Will Carroll, the drummer from Death Angel, who also plays drums in the AC/DC band with me and Zetro, and Joel from Featherwitch, and this guy who does a great, great Angus imitation, really, really good. The guy who plays Angus is fantastic. Anyway, Will Carroll, the drummer, is in the hospital right now. Apparently, he must have this thing too. So, if I get it, I will try to do a show from my deathbed. Hopefully I won't die, but I have a bad cough right now, and I'm hoping it's just psychosomatic. I've been taking black elderberry and by the handfuls, and I just ran out, and I've been taking olive leaf extract by the handfuls as well. But if I got this thing, I'll have the Rodecaster up in the mountains with me if I make it up to the mountains, and I'll do a show from my deathbed for you, friends. But if I do the show and it sucks and I get it posted anyway, don't post on there that the show sucked. Okay, all right? I would appreciate it. It really bumps me out. Yes, I deserve to have it. If people don't like the show, I would rather you be honest and tell me the show that you didn't like the show. But still makes me feel bad when the show sucks. I didn't think the show sucked. I thought the show was entertaining. After the thing was over, I said, wow, that was quite compelling, but what do I know? All right, I have an audio comment from, I think this is from Tim Smith, the Rock and Roll Runner. Let's hear it.
It's a celebration. Just because it's Thursday doesn't mean we can't act like it's Saturday.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, good.
So, here we are on the end of the road tour. End of the road. It's been awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, but thank you, Tim Smith. I will play the rest. But I went to the Kiss show in San Francisco, or in Oakland. I recorded the show, I recorded the concert, but the quality's not, wasn't good enough to do it. I was going to do a live bootleg of the Kiss show, but it wasn't good enough quality for me to do a whole episode on. I think it would have been even worse than the Andy Chernoff interview, but yeah. He said awesome at least 10 times at the Kiss show when I was at.
Hey, Michael Butler, it's the Rock and Roll Runner coming to you from Ohio. How's it going?
Super great. Couldn't be better. Touch of the coronavirus, but other than that, I'm doing fine.
Great to hear,
yeah,
man.
Thanks.
So as you can guess, I have a bit of a show review here, but I'm going to do it very quickly.
Okay.
I'm a complete idiot because I saw this show like 6 months ago in August, and I'm just getting around to it.
No, okay.
But I have a little something fun at the end of my review, or at least I think it's fun. It's pretty stupid, actually. But anyway, little show review on Kiss. I saw them in Cincinnati at the Outdoor Pavilion there. Holds about 15,000 people, and yes, it was pretty much full. And it was a pretty fun night. I was
wet. Now, do they do explosions and stuff at shed concerts, at amphitheaters? I'm not sure if they do or not, but I guess we'll find out.
On the grass, but it was still pretty enjoyable. So thought I'd go through the set list really quickly.
Okay.
Because I don't think anyone's reviewed Kiss in quite a while.
Hold on. Let me pull up my set list so we can compare, see if they stuck to the set list. Okay, let me since August. Let's see. Okay. All right, here we go. So, oh, by the way, when I saw him, David Lee, you probably didn't see David Lee Roth open for him, Tim Smith. David Lee Roth opened for Kiss at the Oakland Coliseum. David Lee Roth was great, but there were backing tracks because you could hear David Lee Roth's voice on the choruses when Roth wasn't singing in the microphone on the choruses. It was like, like when we go, oh, whoa, whoa, Jamie's crying. You could hear Roth going, you could hear distinctly Roth's voice going, whoa, whoa, whoa. But Roth doesn't have the microphone, and he's like doing his ad-lib. So clearly he had backing tracks. But it was still entertaining, although I'm against the backing tracks, and Kiss had some Paul Stanley stuff going on too. But maybe you'll talk about that. I'm not sure. But David Lee Roth was all Van Halen too. What did Roth? I didn't write down Roth's set list, but it was a pretty. Let's see. Well, here's my notes. David Lee Roth banged songs one after another. He didn't talk to the audience once. In case I went with Casey and Casey's son, Sonny, who's like 6 years old. He was rocking out the entire set. He was dressed. It was so cute. So fucking cute, man. He was dressed in cowboy boots, leggings that had stars on them, a Motley Crue t-shirt. I think it was a Dr. Feelgood t-shirt. I don't remember. Maybe just the Motley Crue logo. And he had a Shazam cape on and a... did he have a hat? No, but he was wearing a... Casey bought him a Kiss bandana for like $25. So he made a headband out of that. And he was... had his fist in the air the entire concert. It was really cute. Oh, and during just the Gigolo, David Lee Roth set, there were horns, but I didn't see any horns on the stage. Maybe it was a keyboard player playing the horn part, but I'm going to guess not. All right, back to you, Tim Smith. Let's compare set list.
Just go through this. First, we had Detroit Rock City.
Okay, that's what I got, too.
Then, Shout It Out Loud.
That's what I got. And I also made a note that Paul is lip-syncing during the verses. Because when he talked to the audience, he was like super hoarse. But when he was singing lead on Shout It Out Loud, he sounded, on his parts, they sounded great.
Then, Deuce.
That same one, Deuce.
Say Yeah.
Same one. Got it. So they're not all, they're not very... veering off at all so far.
Love It Out Loud.
Yeah, I love it loud, yeah. Heaven's on Fire.
Heaven's on Fire. Uh-huh.
Tears of Falling.
War Machine.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Did I miss War Machine? Okay, they switched Tears of Falling and War Machine then, because War Machine came on after Tears of Falling. That's when Gene breathed fire.
And then this song.
Well, they didn't do Tears of Falling during Tim Smith's show. Lick It Up. They did that.
There you go.
And
after that, we had...
Well, in the middle of Lick It Up, the one I saw, they did a big, long, Won't Get Fooled Again bit. All right, see what's the next song. I got Dr. Love on the set list.
Calling Dr. Love.
Okay, there you go. He goes, you know, a lot of people are sick. We got a lot of health problems going on now. And I think it's time to call out the doctor. All right, you get it. All right.
100,000 Years,
oh, wait a minute.
Which included a drum solo.
Yeah, got that.
Cold Gin.
Same thing.
With a Tommy Thayer guitar solo.
Yep, got that. God of Thunder.
God of Thunder, yeah. Where Gene spits up blood and has a little bass solo.
Uh-huh. Got that. Same.
Then Psycho Circus.
Yes.
Then Let Me Go Rock and Roll.
Oh, they didn't do that on this one. They did Parasite. All right, they're skipping it up, change it up a little bit.
Then Love Gun. Okay. This is where Paul Stanley got in a little cage and they... They took the cage over the crowd, so he was kind of like in the crowd.
Well, he got in a cage. He didn't get in a cage at this show. He got in a, he was just hanging from a rope. There was like a rope with a loop, and he stuck his boot through it, and he just went across. He goes, "Now, if y'all don't make some noise, we'll keep playing, but do you want me to come out to you? If you want me to come to you, you got to make some noise." So, of course, everybody made noise, and he came out to us.
Singing.
Which, by the way, there were backing vocals on tracks on Love Gun because there were Paul Stanley's voices. While he was flying across the audience, Paul Stanley was singing.
Then I Was Made for Loving You.
Yep, there were backing tracks on that too, of course, because it had the disco stuff.
The last song of the main set, Black Diamond.
Black Diamond, that was a good one.
Then after they left, they came back out and did this song.
Beth. By the way, the best singer in the band, Eric Singer, he's the best singer. You know, if I never hear Beth again, it'll be just fine with me.
There you go.
Kill it!
Famous drum player has to sing that. Yeah. Eric Singer.
Yeah. By the way, there were also backing tracks during that, clearly. I mean, he was sitting at a piano, I'm guessing he was really playing, but there was also an orchestra behind him and all this stuff. But there were no orchestra members, but the sound of an orchestra was there.
The last song of the night, Crazy, Crazy Nights.
They didn't do that.
And they
did
finally finish off with...
They did Do You Love Me instead of Crazy Nights, and then they finished it off with, of course, all the confetti cans, Rock and Roll All Night.
This song.
Now, during this one, when I saw them, there was so much confetti cannons. I mean, endless confetti cannons. They covered the soundboard and everything with plastic. They just kept blowing more and more and more and more confetti. And Gene and Tommy Thayer got on these cranes, and it like they went all above the around the audience in these cranes. It was a pretty cool effect. It was a spectacular stage show.
Okay, there you go. So, you know, a couple of comments. I really enjoyed the show. I've never seen Kiss. I'm not a gigantic Kiss fan in the sense I probably...
Right. Sat in the lawn, so I'm assuming that you got a good deal on the tickets, like Groupon or something like that.
Their albums, yes, albums, just the more popular ones. And I never got deep into Kiss, but I really enjoyed the show. Never seen them, always wanted to see them, and... You know, this is their final tour, right?
Yeah, right.
Sure it is. But I thought it was a great show. I really enjoyed it. One thing I'll notice, I saw some people saying that Paul Stanley can't sing. I disagree with that. He sang fine.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the songs. I think that Gene Simmons sings better.
He does.
But there's nothing really wrong with Paul
Stanley. Paul Stanley was clearly hoarse when I saw them. But like I said... He dubbed some backing tracks, like on some of the vocal parts, like the verses of "Shout It Out Loud" and the chorus of "Love Gun" and some of that stuff. And also, the other guys were singing a lot too. But he has lost his voice. But you know, a little bit of backing tracks. Which, by the way, if you're going to the if they let us out of our house before the summertime. If you're going to the Motley Crue show, just keep in mind, they use backing tracks for every instrument. Vocals, guitar, bass, and drums. It's practically lip-synced. They are a fraud. But that's besides the point. Back to you, Tim Smith. God, how bad will that suck if we're still locked down to the fucking summertime? What are we going to do, man? I'm going to be broke.
I'm not sure about that. His voice is pretty amusing, especially when he's talking.
It's
pretty
great.
Amusing.
It's
but
great.
He sings okay.
I saw him do, pardon me, on Burma's Fine Tecate. I did a live bootleg of a solo show he did at the Fillmore in San Francisco. Look, you can look for that on the app. If you have the Rock and Roll Geek iPhone or Android app, you can look, just look up Paul Stanley live bootleg. He did all those raps at a small venue, like a 1200 seater. And by the way, there was nobody at that 1200 seater. There might've been 500 people there. If that, it was great though.
All right. Anyway, I thought I would top this off for fun with a little battle of the bands. And in this case, it's going to be Iron Maiden versus Kiss. And the reason is, exactly 2 weeks before I saw Kiss, I saw Iron Maiden at the same place. So that's the only reason I'm comparing these two bands. Okay. I didn't call in with an Iron Maiden show review because someone else beat me to it. But anyway, this is Iron Maiden versus Kiss.
Oh, okay.
And it's just going to be like plus 1 point or no points or something.
Oh, for each song?
And these categories are totally random. All they just came into my head. And people can totally disagree with me.
I like this.
They're either my opinion or just what I think is true, and I'm probably wrong. But just for fun, here you go. So let's talk about album covers. My feeling, and I didn't even go back and look at them all, that Iron Maiden should win that one. They get a plus one.
Okay.
Popularity in America. I'm going to guess Kiss
no,
is maybe
Iron Maiden,
more popular than
Iron Maiden.
Plus one for Kiss. Popularity on the international scale, don't know, but I'm going to guess maybe Iron Maiden. I could be totally wrong on that, though, but going to go ahead and give that to Iron Maiden. Catchiness of the tunes. I'm going to give this to Kiss. Kiss songs are easier to sing along to, more radio-friendly, more catchy. On the other hand, how epic the tunes are, definitely Iron Maiden. Way more epic. 1 point for Iron Maiden right there. Okay. So let's get to some concert stuff.
Okay.
Attractiveness of the crowd.
I'm going to say Iron Maiden is probably a little bit more attractive. Well, it's probably neck and neck. I mean, at the one I went to, well, there were some good-looking girls at the Kiss show. I take that back. I'm going to say Kiss, probably. There were some fat dudes and fat girlfriends, too, but I'm going to Kiss slightly better.
This one
wait a minute,
for Iron Maiden.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Catchiness of the tunes. I'm going to give this to Kiss. Kiss songs are easier to sing along to, more radio-friendly, more catchy. On the other hand, how epic the tunes are,
I rewound it too far. The bonus episode.
Iron Maiden right
Don't
there.
Send me hate mail.
So let's get to some concert stuff. Attractiveness of the crowd. Minus one for Iron Maiden. Zero for Kiss. Both of these bands look like they're made up of people about to have a leg amputated from diabetes.
I would not totally disagree with that. Although there were some cute girls at the Kiss show.
The worst part of going to classic rock shows is just hanging out with all these old and decrepit men.
Yeah, who you calling old and decrepit, Tim Smith? I'm that guy.
The only redeeming thing Kiss had was they had at least a few MILFs in the crowd.
There you go.
It generally, both are pretty pathetic and disgusting. they also both lose a point. Both bands lose a point for shortening my lifespan due to all the people smoking. Even though this is outdoor, I feel like they shouldn't allow smoking because you might as well be indoors. And I feel like I was about to die from smoke inhalation and body odor. That as well. Not fun. Size of the crowd,
You did go in August, so it was pretty hot. We're in Cincinnati probably in August. So
Filled up around 15,000 people, so 1 point each.
Like Eddie Trunk says, promoters now, or Live Nation, is not going to have an empty venue. If they got to give away a bunch of tickets, they will. Iron Maiden, they don't have to give away tickets because they sell tickets. Kiss, they probably had to give a few away or give cheap tickets. Our tickets cost... Shit, our tickets cost almost $100 each. Actually, a little bit more than $100 each. Casey bought mine because I loaned him a bass. I think he thinks that the bass is going to be an even exchange for that Kiss concert. Casey? No. All right, back to you, Tim Smith.
Songs, they both did a good job. They were both pretty fun to listen to between songs. Gene Simmons, he's just funny.
He's hilarious.
One each for that. How about lifetime of the band? Just general survival of the band and how well they've stayed intact. I'm going to give 1 point each. Neither band has been perfect, but 1 point each for that. I mean, not as bad as a lot of bands. General style, band style, just the general perception to me.
Well, Kiss is wearing costumes, and Maiden's not.
Both very unique and creative, obviously. Kiss with the makeup. Iron Maiden with the Eddie stuff and just the subject matter of the songs they sing. But I'm going to give this to Iron Maiden, a little bit more cool. It, even though the Kiss makeup thing, it still works, it at the same time feels outdated. I'm not sure how, but I'm going to give 1 point to Iron Maiden.
Yeah, honestly, I do think it's about time for Kiss to hang it up, although they're now talk of a Las Vegas residency, so... Who knows when they're going to hang it up, but yeah, I think it's about time.
Stage presentation, 1 point each. They were both really fun to watch. How about lead singer's voice? Bruce Dickinson, a big plus one. I was amazed at how well Bruce Dickinson can sing. I really thought he was going to be weak-voiced or something. I mean, didn't we hear something about throat cancer once? I don't know, but wow, that guy can sing. How about the opening band? So this is weird. Kiss did not have an opening band. They had this artist guy. Yeah, I had never heard of him called Garibaldi. And they would play music and he would paint a big, gigantic picture like the size of himself.
Yeah, that's lame.
Upside down. And then at the very end, he'd flip it over and then you'd see what it was. It was really corny.
It was hokey.
Although he is kind of talented. I mean, of course, to be able to paint upside down is, I guess, a talent. So he did one of Mick Jagger.
I would have rather seen David Lee Roth.
While a Rolling Stones song was playing, and then one of Bon Scott while an AC/DC song was playing. And then he did the whole Kiss band while a Kiss song is playing. And then he'd flip them over at the very end. Honestly,
what Kiss song did he do? I wonder if Kiss made him do a song that was not in their set.
They weren't great paintings. I mean, I'm not sure I would have known it was Mick Jagger had they not been playing a Mick Jagger song.
Right, exactly.
But it was still, I thought it would be horrible. I was about to leave, but I ended up watching the whole thing. So we'll give a point to Kiss. Iron Maiden had some band that just sounded boring.
The Iron Maiden's opening band was Steve Harris's son's band. They were horrible. They played okay, but it was really, really dumb. Not
1 point for Kiss for the opening band. Contact Buzz, a little bit higher at Iron Maiden, guess that's worth a point.
Okay.
A random point for Kiss for Gene Simmons, just the way he acts, the drooling. The guy truly drools. Yeah, I don't mean he kind of spits.
It's great.
Drool just falls out of his mouth.
Well, and the blood thing, he lets the blood just flow down. And plus, even with the makeup on, Gene, you can tell he has a sense of humor. I would think, of all the people I would want to hang out with and have lunch with or something, as much of a jerk as he comes across, I think Gene Simmons would be the most fun guy to hang out with.
And then, of course, he has that one spot where he spits blood all over, and he leaves it on, which is funny. So the front of his whatever he's wearing is all full of blood. He kind of looks like Hagrid from the Harry Potter series. Yeah.
Somebody's got to clean that in between every show, too. Imagine having that job.
Just a random point for that. Gene Simmons, way, way more entertaining than I thought he was going to be. He was hilarious. 1 point for Kiss for the drum solo. Yeah, drum solos are usually not very interesting. But
yeah, but Eric Singer did a good drum solo. I'm not into drum solos either, but he's a good drummer.
Kiss's drum solo wasn't bad. Guitar solos, big plus one for Iron Maiden.
Yeah, of course.
Tommy Thayer did a guitar solo, and it was pretty boring. But Iron Maiden was doing guitar solos all night long. Could almost give them 2 points for this. Just incredible guitar solos. Gene Simmons did a little bass solo with some sound effects.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, almost with a point, but we'll give that to Iron Maiden.
I think Iron Maiden's cooler because Steve Harris doesn't do a bass solo.
Anyway, if you total all of this up, it comes down to Iron Maiden 9, Kiss 8.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. Iron Maiden just barely squeaks out the battle of the bands.
There you go.
You can give me your opinion, and rock and roll listener, geek show listeners can chime in if they want, but that's how I see it. And I'm sure I left out a bunch of other categories that could be useful. All right, that's all I have, man. Talk to you next time. Stay frosty.
Stay frosty. Thank you, Tim Smith. You too can leave me a show review or audio comment. Well, you're probably not going to leave me any show reviews anytime soon, since every concert in the entire world has been canceled. Every tour in the entire world has been canceled. The entire world's on lockdown. Think about that. The entire world is on home. What do you call it? What do they call it when you get put in jail and you get and they make you stay home? Home confinement, or whatever you call it. Home imprisonment. We're all locked in our houses. I'm working tomorrow. I'm going to finish this job tomorrow, and I'm heading the fuck out of here to the mountains. I hope it's going to be okay in the mountains, because if there's no food in the grocery stores like there is in San Francisco, I went to the grocery store this morning. There was nothing. Nothing. Well, there was a couple things, but for the most part, nothing. For dinner tonight, we had fish that I caught. It was in the freezer, so fish that I caught in the ocean, so we were fortunate with that. But the grocery store is not a lot of food. It could be worse where I'm going to go up to Trinity County, because maybe the trucks don't go there as often. If it's nothing, then I might have to hunt some deer out of season. So we'll see. Strange, strange, strange times we are in right now, friends. You don't need me to tell you that. All right, let's play a song. All right, I got an email from Dave Holt. Just came down today. Hey, Michael, hope all is well. Hope the Blue Helmet guys are staying away from you. What's the Blue Helmet guys? Are those the cops? Just had to drop a note to you to tell you about a guy I met over the weekend. I'm from Cincinnati. If you remember, I do Marty's Garage. Yes, I know that, Dave Holt. But this ain't about that. My son lives in Los Angeles and got married last weekend. A friend of his flew out for the wedding, and I had to introduce myself to him. His name is Skyler from the band Foxy Shazam. Huh. Your son is friends with the guy from Foxy, the singer from, with one of the guys in Foxy Shazam. I don't think it's a singer, Skyler. It says, they're a Cincinnati band that put out about 5 albums but broke up a few years ago. All they recently had a reunion concert canceled because of a certain virus, and also have an album in the can. Yeah, I know that Foxy Shazam reunited. He's an awesome guy. I have this printed really, really small, so I can get really close to my computer here. I talked to him. We talked for hours. They toured with the Darkness, and he said he even stayed with Justin in a castle somewhere in the UK for 2 months. Had to relay to you that Sky said Justin was a great guy, nicest person you will ever meet. Had the best stories ever, and was unbelievable to be able to watch him perform every night. They told Sky Foxy has an open invitation to tour with them. Sky, if you're familiar with the band, is the one with the long beard, keyboard, a lot of energy. That's all. Just thought of you as he was talking to me. Keep it frosty, Dave, Marty's Garage. I saw Foxy Shazam on tour with the Darkness. They played the Fillmore in San Francisco. And my daughter actually, when Foxy Shazam played the Bottom of the Hill, when they were on their, like, the album was, I think it was like their first or second album. And my daughter interviewed him backstage before the show. because I got them on Mevio when I was working at Mevio. I got their videos on the network. All right, for you, Dave Motti, Dave Holt, how about something from the Church of Rock and Roll, Foxy Suzanne? This song is called Holy Touch.
This is WQRX. That was a new hit, but really?
There you go. Oh, stop. Dude, that was Foxy Shazam. Fun band. They were great live. I think I've seen them like twice. I think we stayed to watch them at the bottom of the hill. Maybe we didn't. But I had their videos all over Mevio, so I saw them many times on the videos. And they were great opening for the Darkness. Also, Justin and that singer, Justin from the Darkness, Justin Hawkins, and the singer wrote that Hang Cool Teddy Bear album. They wrote almost that entire album for Meatloaf, and that is a great album. All right. We are 46 minutes into this. My chair is squeaking. I need to oil this fucking thing. And I think I'm going to... I think I'm going to probably wrap this thing up. Suddenly I'm feeling, I started talking about this fucking shit. Let's play another song, and then I'll say some final words, and we'll get the hell out of here. All right, this is a song by, this is an album called the Lee Harvey Oswald Band, called Blastronaut is the name of the album. Top to bottom, this album is great. I remember listening, Eric Lannon from American Heartbreak turned me onto this album a long time ago. When did it come out? 96, this album came out. I'm going to play something from Lee Harvey Oswald Band. In keeping with the state of affairs, this song is called Panic in Hanoi.
Should the sun refuse to shine,
I will burn buildings in the night. Should my pistol choose to jam, I have another one in my hand. Why waltz when you can rock and roll? I'm shooting for a new death toll. Hey, this is cool, so this is war. I'll get a scope and prove my skull. And panic in Hanoi, fire is our friend. Splash some gas on this dirty city and burn it down again. Panic, panic, panic in Hanoi. Oh no, no. Panic, panic, panic in Hanoi. Oh no, no. Panic, panic, panic in Hanoi. You know, mother, I'm a soldier. You're over with a gun. Mother, I'd die if I told you what I'd done. Looting in the shopping mall, I stole a mobile phone to call the police, but they couldn't come. They got the piggies on the run and panic in Hanoi. Fire is our friend. Splash some gas on this goddamn city and put it down again.
There you go. Lee Harvey Oswald Band, Panic in Hanoi. All right. So I had to clean out my office last
night. It all started when I stumbled into better
times. Stop. This producer, you are fired, producer. This was your last night here. I know we're in quarantine and we're locked down, and you need the money, but you're fired. All right. Where was? Oh, I had to clean my office this past weekend. The wife told me, don't make plans this weekend because this office has got to be cleaned out. We got to get this everything out of here. In my office, there was stuff floor to ceiling. It was like the hoarding. It was like the worst episode of Hoarders. And I had to clean it this weekend. I had to get all these CDs out. I must have had 1,000 CDs on these racks behind me. And as I was cleaning the CD, I was putting the CDs away. I was coming across CDs that I didn't think I had ripped to the iTunes. So I was ripping a bunch of CDs to the iTunes, and I found what I'm going to play, a band called Gangrene. Pardon me, I'm burping this fine Tecate. Let me take another sip of this fine Tecate so I can do another burp. Ah, I found three albums from Gangrene, a live album and two other albums. I'm gonna close out the show tonight with a Gangrene song called Alcohol, kind of in keeping with the theme. You're stuck in your house. Better have some beer, friends. All right. So that's what I'm going to play for you, and then I'm going to get the hell out of here. From my heart, friends, I hope you're all healthy, and I hope this is not fucking your life up too much. I hope you got enough money to survive when you're... Well, first of all, I hope your town's not locked down like ours is. They just locked Los Angeles down starting midnight tonight. San Francisco's been locked down since Tuesday. I believe New York City is locked down. Hopefully they won't close the freeways before tomorrow, because I got to get the hell out of here. So hopefully you're not locked down, but if you are locked down, hope you got enough money to survive. I know I don't. I don't have enough money to survive, so I got to figure out if I'm going to be able to work or not, because I don't know if customers are going to let me go into their house and paint or paint outside their house. Maybe they will. They announced today that they were going to be arresting people who violated this order. So I think painters are fall under construction workers, and according in the rules of San Francisco, construction workers are allowed to leave the house to work. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, my point is, friends, I hope you get through this shit, and I hope we all get through it together. And I hope nobody dies. And I hope none of your relatives die either. I love you, friends. And I mean that. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you maybe from the mountains. I'm going to bring the Roadcaster up there with me. And I invited Shockey to come up. I don't know if he's going to come up or not, but it would be nice to be up there with some friends. I'm bringing the dog. My wife's going tomorrow morning. She's bringing the dogs with her. I have to work, finish this job. I'm painting for Erica. I just finished an exterior. And I'm painting for Erica, the singer for Featherwitch, and I have to finish that. That's probably going to take me about 12 hours to do it. So I'm going to be working from like 7 in the morning to 7 at night, and I'm heading straight from there. Hopefully Chalky will come up. It would be nice to see him. I don't really want to be... Well, I want to be up there anyway, but it would be nice to see some friends. And it can get lonely in isolation, friends. All right. I'm going to close out, like I said, with Gangrene. This song is Alcohol. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Thank you to everybody who donated to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Please keep the donations coming. It's a value for value, so if you get any value out of this show, please donate what you can. There's another way you can donate too. You can contribute to the show. Like somebody on the Facebook group, the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group, which I did not create, but I do approve people. Classic Rock Magazine had a post that said, "What's your favorite podcast?" And Mark Bridges posted Rock and Roll Geek Show, hosted by one incredible Michael Butler, one of the oldest podcast shows on the internet. Every episode is a train wreck into rock music and must not be missed. Thank you, Mark Bridges. I really appreciate that. He said, "I tried but didn't get one like or one comment." There you go. So find that Classic Rock Magazine post. Post what your favorite podcast is. And a little mention of your friend Michael Butler would be highly appreciated, friends. All right. Thank you for listening. Again, be safe out there. Kiss your wife, even if she's sick. Give her a kiss anyway, or kiss your husband. All right. I'll talk to you soon, friends. I'm
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.